Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you are listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Chloe Saavedra of the synth-pop duo Chaos Chaos. She began performing music at the age of 10 with her sister Asi, and they formed the band Smoosh in 2000. They changed the name to Chaos Chaos in 2012 and recorded the EP Committed to the Crime, which initially flew under the radar until the song Do You Feel It was featured in an episode of the Adult Swim series Rick and Morty. The song received a new mix in 2024 as part of the reissue of Committed to the Crime. The sisters also performed a select series of live dates and gathered to make some new music. In this conversation, Saavedra discusses the history of Chaos Chaos, how she and her sister continue to navigate a relationship sometimes complicated by their roles as bandmates, and at other times complicated by their roles as siblings. She also discusses what the future might hold for Chaos Chaos. That's on Into Music, coming up now. I'm glad to be talking to you about this reissue. This is 10 years. Wow. So was this a thing where you talked about this and said, you know, 10 years is coming up, maybe we should do this? Or was it just kind of like chance that it happened?
Well, yeah, me and Asi had not been really speaking or seeing each other for about 3 years during the pandemic, or like started at during the pandemic, and our band pretty much broke up unofficially. And then when we got back together, we did a writing trip in the desert, and we went to a restaurant one day and we were just talking about ideas of how to kind of restart things with the band. And we just realized that I think that a lot of fans had been noticing that it had been its 10-year anniversary. So that clued us into that. It had been 10 years since the Committed to the Crime record. And I think it started with realizing we should make some vinyl. A lot of the fans had been asking for vinyl for that record. And then it just kind of snowballed into more ideas added on to that, adding on shows that are going to be Committed to the Crime anniversary / band reunion shows. It also had been kind of interesting. Our band had never really done anything like the right way business-wise, because it's just been me and Asi doing everything. And we were like, I think I was like 19 when we made the record. And yeah, we just didn't really end up pushing it a lot. And it took a minute for that record to catch on. And we just didn't make any music videos like for any of those songs. And we just kind of left it there. And we just felt like there was mileage still with doing some sort of vinyl for the first time since we never done that, making a music video. And we toyed with the idea of doing a video for the Do You Feel It, the like actual song. But then we were like, you know, that feels weird because like it's us from 10 years ago singing. We should do it with this new version, this new strings version. And then that version, I don't know, it just ends up, it felt really kind of meant to be somehow, because we made this like more emotional version of that track to add as a bonus track for the vinyl. And it really felt like somehow we're speaking to our youth and our sister connection and all the time that's passed. So it was really cool.
I want to go back just a little bit for people who don't know. When around the time that this EP came out, you had been Smoosh. Then you have a new identity. And I mean, talking about business decisions, there's like people in marketing departments who are probably saying, whatever you do, don't change your name, don't change your identity. Mm. So was there some lag with that as you were starting this band?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we probably shouldn't have changed our band name, actually. Yeah, I think that we were thinking that this was more important than it was. But there was some funny, like, joke with the name Smoosh. That was like a Jersey Shore thing. And yeah, they would use that word to mean, I think it means hookup. Like that was part of some slang that they were using. And then there was a South Park episode, which just made the name, it made it worse. And we just started to have all of that stuff coming up in the Google search engine and getting people that were just kind of trolling or commenting things about Snooki and Smoosh on our videos. And we're like, we have to change our name. But I think we really could have just waited it out. It wasn't that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. But I think we also wanted to make some change to indicate the kind of change that happened for us. We were like adults starting Chaos Chaos. I mean, I was like 18, but we felt like there was a big perspective shift from Smoosh.
I mean, the two of you had in some ways, by that point in your life, already lived like the arc of an entire band in a way that some people don't do until their 20s. So that had to be kind of intense.
Yeah, it's when I think back to all of the things that we did with Smoosh and all the tours and albums, I feel a bit disconnected from it because it's, I just feel like, was that really me? Like, did I do all that? Or like who was, like, who did all of that stuff? Yeah, it feels interesting. And there's, especially with the indie music scene, I feel like that time in the early 2000s that we were really active with Smoosh was kind of like the last breath of authenticity in the music scene and any sort of independence that artists had from big corporations. And it really felt like that was part of the ethos back then. So I do feel like people remember things from that time and they like reference things from that time a lot. So it's just interesting to remember, like, oh yeah, we know this person from Block Party Tour, or we know this person from Barsook. Or even though it was indie music and it wasn't like major label, huge stuff, I think that that scene really made a huge mark in like music history. And like maybe it was that era's version of punk, of like the, I guess what punk is, which is kind of like defiant.
You mentioned with this EP that initially it took some time for it to kind of get momentum. So what was the turning point where all of a sudden it was like, oh gosh, okay, now people are, they're engaging with it?
Yeah, I think that we had lost some fans, or the fans had lost track of us with the band name change. So we were sort of battling starting anew and trying to build that again. But the thing that kind of brought a new fan base and a new recognition to us as a band was one of the songs was on Rick and Morty season 3, I think. Do You Feel It? Was used for that. And it just kind of slowly started to build. And it took us probably too long to realize that that song had ended up getting a lot of traction from the show. And speaking about bad business moves, we literally didn't even have that song like on YouTube. And there was like there's some unofficial band YouTube and band like page that would do all the stuff we were supposed to be doing. So basically, we were just losing all of the like excitement that could have been directed to us. But yeah, we started to realize that. And then fans through that song started to find our other material and the rest of that EP. And then we ended up just doing a lot of music for that show when we moved to LA. So we just got more connected with doing music for the show. Yeah, there was Ryan Elder, who's the composer of Rick and Morty. And then me and Aussie would kind of get any tasks of like making a funny joke song that sounds really serious and sad. So we would just make these do our thing of like making these sad ballads, but then make the lyrics like just too cheesy or funny for moments of the show. So
it's interesting because there's something that I think has happened. Maybe, I don't know, maybe more like the last 6 years or so. Of course, getting a sync in TV or a film or something has often been a good boost for people, gets you attention, so forth. But it's interesting today when I hear like my nieces and nephews talk, they'll hear a song and they won't associate it with an artist. They'll associate it with, oh, that's from, they'll hear Van Halen and they'll be like, oh, that's from Ready Player One, or that's from this, as though the music originated in a film, which is so strange.
That is interesting. Yeah. It's weird. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. I feel like it would probably be a bad thing for the music, but I do feel like that happens. And I think that we've kind of been in this weird era of just the way that music is consumed on streaming platforms, where it's like the art is kind of cheapened. And I think that movies and TV shows still have a bit of like reverence, and they have a platform that feels like it's doing more to like, I guess, maintain its, I don't know what to say really, but it seems like the platform is like respected more or something. So I feel like people will remember the TV shows, but they're not remembering the songs or the music as much. If you ask people what music they listen to, they like have to go to their playlists, you know? But then I feel like with TV shows, you can remember the things that you watch or the movies that you like. And I don't think that's a good thing, but I think that is something that's kind of happened.
Was there kind of a moment though where it was like, okay, well, this is great. It's great that we have this relationship with Rick and Morty, but it might be time to kind of distance ourselves from this.
There were some people that would come out to shows that were more just a fan of the show than they were a fan of our band, and they would kind of just ask for songs that were more of the joke songs that like we weren't going to play live. That felt a little strange to have people coming out to our shows but then feel like they weren't completely there for us. I think that those people naturally kind of ended up not coming out to as many things, not staying as loyal to our material. But I think we did decide that we wanted to distance ourselves a bit and really just claim our band name more and not have it be attached to something else. I think that is something you have to actively decide to do, even though it feels weird in press, for example, to say like, we don't want Rick and Morty to be in the headline of this or something, but it kind of requires a bit of a push against that, because people will immediately want to use some of those big names that you're associated with for clickbait or to get more traction, which makes sense. But yeah, you kind of have to reject it a little bit to like stand on your own. So yeah, we kind of were just focusing on doing our material at a certain point, and we stopped doing music for the show. And I think now there's been a huge sort of shift with all of that stuff, and just a complicated relationship that people have with the show. And I think part of the music video that we made for Do You Feel It Strings, we wanted to find like a way through the video and through the art to kind of comment on some of the things that have been going on in our lives that are a bit more significantly attached to that, you know, the show and people that work on the show, and to kind of use the art to speak on some of those things that we're not exactly ready to talk about with as explicitly as like in an interview. But yeah.
I want to touch on the kind of the reactivation of the band, because you mentioned that the two of you had a period where you didn't see each other a lot and so forth. I would imagine that there's like a dynamic that doesn't always exist for other siblings, in that you and your sister, of course, will always be sisters, but are you always going to be bandmates? Right? And there's probably, I would think that there's complexities to that.
Yeah, it's weird because some of my earliest memories and my way of bonding with Aussie has always been through music. So it's you would think that there is a way to separate that from the relationship, but it's weird. There really isn't. We've tried that just as we've like reconnected and done therapy and kind of focused on our relationship. We've tried to leave the band stuff out of it, but then we just end up having these sort of deep conversations or philosophical conversations about art and about fashion and about music, and it's really connected to our bond. So I actually don't think we've ever experienced having a relationship that doesn't have that involved.
So now that the EP is coming out, you know, you mentioned vinyl, and for old fans, this is kind of cause for celebration. And now you also have this opportunity where I imagine a new generation of fans will come in and so forth. Does that kind of give you, I don't know, maybe some hope for the future? Like, oh, okay, well, we can get into making new music. We can get the machine kind of rolling. Or is it, let's just take this one day at a time kind of thing?
Sadly, where we're at with our relationship is not at a point yet where there's a ton of certainty in the future. And we're kind of just trying to be honest with our fans about that we're just taking things one step at a time, but we're still kind of making plans for the future. We actually just recorded an album. So we do have a new album that we're really, really excited about. That's what I'm going to after this. We're just finishing some final touches on some songs. So yeah, we made this album that just was really like going back to our roots of Smoosh stuff and those indie days and playing our instruments and playing live, like for every song, everything is live, like no click track. And realizing it's weird because we've been doing stuff to a click and with a lot of electronic elements and like kind of the piecemeal way that you make music in the box for a while. And I think we forgot that actually it's totally possible and that there's something really magical that was missing from that. And it's totally possible to record more old school way of doing everything live and not using a click. So yeah, I feel like really excited about that record. It sounds very like different than, it sounds really different than a lot of music that you're hearing right now. I think because it's live and that there's like a flow with the tempos and there's that energy in it. And we really wanted to get that band energy to come across in the music. Cause we were like, wait, that's like who we are at our core. Like we're like a band. We're not just like an artist frontman. And there's all these other people doing the music. Like we are making everything. So let's make an album that really like highlights that as our part of our connection as sisters. And musically, I feel inclined to focus on that because of where we're at right now with like AI and just wanting to really do as much as we can to like oppose that and still make something as human as possible. But yeah, so we have this album and a lot of ideas for like music videos and more things to come. So I hope that we'll continue doing stuff. Probably requires us continuing like taking it slow and doing therapy and everything. Because as we've started to get more busy, like some of those stresses do like trigger things that are difficult about our dynamic.
You've been listening to a conversation with Chloe Saavedra of Chaos Chaos. The latest Chaos Chaos release is a reissue of the EP Committed to the Crime. You can learn more about the band at chaoschaosband.com. And you can hear my conversation with Asi Saavedra on the next episode of this podcast. Our digital producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Hugo Fan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Torn Anderson. You can learn more about this podcast at kmuw.org, and we do welcome your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org. Thanks again for listening. We will see you next time. Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Asi Saavedra. She's one half of the synth-pop duo Chaos Chaos. She and her sister, Chloe, formed the band Smoosh in 2000 and changed the name to Chaos Chaos in 2012 and recorded the EP Committed to the Crime. That EP initially flew under the radar until the song Do You Feel It was featured in an episode of the Adult Swim series Rick and Morty. The song received a new mix in 2024 as part of a reissue of Committed to the Crime, and the sisters also performed a series of select live dates and even gathered to make some new music. In this conversation, Saavedra discusses the history of Chaos Chaos, how she and her sister continue to navigate a relationship sometimes complicated by their roles as bandmates, and at other times complicated by their roles as siblings. All that, plus what the future might hold for Chaos Chaos. That's on Into Music, coming up now. What do you remember about the initial making of the music and that time in your life?
It's funny that you already talked to Chloe, right?
Yeah.
So you have like one perspective of it. It's funny because we always, whenever we talk about the past, there's like shared memories. And then we also have our own kind of perspectives, which is just interesting. But it was honestly a pretty interesting time making the EP because it was, I guess, like all things that end up being important, it didn't feel like all good doing it or all bad, obviously. It was just, I didn't really know how to feel about it because I think we were really feeling like we needed to get to the next level with our music career and to make something that would allow us to like make that shift from, you know, the kid band to having a career as like adults, I guess. And we just had really high expectations, and but we were still, you know, we were still very young. And I just remember like working so hard and like kind of almost never feeling like the material was good enough, but then also like realizing that I knew it was our best material ever just because of how hard we had worked and how it was such a different process. But I remember I really did feel like it was kind of Chloe and I against the world, like our sister relationship. And we were just like, our whole life at that time was just us in these different situations, but it was always us as a unit kind of, you know, navigating these situations. And for the studio experience, we worked with the producer, Fraser McCullough, and we had met him right before that. And he was actually referred to us by a friend. So we really didn't know what to expect with him. But we were like unsure of what the working relationship would be like and had no idea we would be working with him 10 years later, which is kind of crazy. But we would bike 6 miles to his loft studio and then work for the day, and he didn't have AC. It was very like very kind of difficult conditions. We would have to like pause doing vocal takes to turn the AC on so that I wouldn't feel like lightheaded. And yeah, that's just, I think everyone looks back on their early kind of like project in that way where it was so difficult, but then there's something kind of nice about that. Just like, you just have this feeling of you're overcoming challenges.
And you kind of touched on this. I mean, the two of you, by the time you got around to this EP, you had basically already had a career that was as long as some other bands last.
It's I still don't know how to feel about that, because in a lot of ways I have just always felt ancient because of that. You know, I feel like I'm like secretly I've been around forever somehow, like a vampire or something. Like, so strange.
Yeah, and so there was also, of course, the name change there. When that happened, did you feel like, okay, this isn't just about changing the name, this is about there's more freedom here. We can change direction, we can do a number of different things.
I think it was more like the changes preceded the name change. So we had already just felt like we had changed so much in a way that required a name change. You know, we also, when you're at that age and you're like, you just kind of became an adult, you're so aware of your new identity, you know? So we were very like, oh, we're not a kid band anymore. Like that's just not, we feel so different. That's not us anymore. And yeah, in a lot of ways we were really different, because so much changes when you're growing up like that. And I think it was exciting though, feeling like the name kind of gave us like a clean slate. It felt really, I love things in life where you get to like recreate yourself or something. And like, I get really excited about like new beginnings. So I remember being really excited about the control we had in figuring out what our brand would be, our music, everything like that. Yeah, it was, and we were pretty intentional about it. We talked a lot about the direction we wanted to go in, the influences. Like, honestly, I'm surprised looking back and remembering how young we were. I'm surprised that we were that intentional about stuff.
Now, there's that thing that I suppose happens sometimes where, like, you change because, you know, today we talk about branding and things like that. And so you have a name and you change it. And then there's that thing where it's like, oh man, do you lose audience? You know, what kind of, were there conversations like that?
I mean, there should have been. I don't know if I remember us having conversations like that. We were a very like elusive band and not always like making it easy for people. So that was honestly just like part of the brand unintentionally. I think to be honest, and maybe this was like to a fault, but we were so excited about the change and starting over that we actually didn't really want to focus on the actual transition, or that we used to be Smoosh. We were almost just wanting to fully like acknowledge ourselves as the new band. So I think we sort of I think it would have been better if we actually were more focused on the transition and kind of making that be a part of the brand itself. I also don't think people said brand in the way that they did like back then. Like, that was not the word that we would have used. I think we weren't really like connecting the dots. We were just wanting to think about, and that's kind of, I think that's how you are when you're that age, when you're like 20 or something. Everything feels permanent, every phase you're going through, and every change, you're like, this is me, this is the new me, and you like don't identify with the previous stuff. So I remember feeling like that, and I was kind of like rejecting a lot of the Smoosh history, whereas now I'm like, oh, I'm so proud of all of that. I wish that I felt proud back then. I don't know why I rejected it so much.
I think about like my early adulthood and my own creativity, and I didn't really have like a vision yet, you know. I think that came much later. So it sounds like you did already have that, but it was also changing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it is kind of weird. Like, I guess when in Smoosh, I would say that I had a creative vision with the band, but I didn't like think about it before and kind of, you know, intentionally be like, this is what I want to do. It just all came naturally. And in a way, I actually think about that now. I think there's something interesting about actually not being like intentional, like just whatever happens will be the natural you. The Smoosh stuff, it felt so, there was like nothing ever felt wrong because we were never trying to be something we weren't. And to be honest, I think when we started the new band and that new EP. Like there's a couple, you know, there's some moments on there where I can hear that we're trying something that really wasn't completely us. And that's probably just like a normal part of someone's artistic career. But with Smoosh, I mean, I guess actually there was some of that with Smoosh too. There was a song where I was like inspired by Eminem and trying to rap. So I wouldn't say that's my natural vision, but but I guess I didn't think about things in the same way. It was more just how a kid approaches things, being like, I'm just gonna try, I don't think about consequences, I'm just gonna try whatever. And it's really awesome having that freedom to, you know, when you're making art. But yeah, it is weird to me that I had any kind of vision when I was a kid, because I don't really know why that happened, but it was just kind of like how kids are so creative with whatever game they're playing, whatever their hobby is. Like kids are like insanely, like they all have visions when they're making like a Lego setup. That's like a vision. So I just did that with music.
Wow. Yeah. I guess I'd never thought of that way before. Thank you. That's kind of a revelation for me.
I think we forget how like kids are so smart and they are kind of visionaries, but we don't give them the credit.
I want to ask kind of the, you know, the question about being in a band with a sibling. You're not just siblings. You're also sharing this creativity with each other. Is that ever kind of strange where it's like, she'll always be my sister, but will she always be my bandmate?
Yeah, right. It is like sister comes first. I think we've sort of gone through times where it's actually like the band stuff was coming first. Our sister relationship was struggling, but it was like, well, we'll always be a band because that's our job, but we might not always be like friends as sisters. And that we realized that was not, like things weren't good at that point. I've pretty much been in a band with Chloe for my whole life. So there's only been like shorter phases where our sister relationship was the only thing we had and we didn't have the band. But those times have felt weirdly healthy to actually just get to know her without the, not get to know her, but to like just work on our friendship and sibling relationship without the business and the music vision. Because it really is like such a, it's like the most kind of intimate and like intense space to be in with someone. And the sibling thing makes it's like the best in the world, and it makes it the hardest, just being in that intense space and then also having the intense kind of closeness of our sibling relationship. So it like makes it way more intense. And I think that's kind of why that's part of why we had to take a step back for a little while and just kind of, yeah, work on, just take away some of that pressure that came with like all of those things meeting. But it is funny because I've worked on a couple projects with my other sister, Maya, but she actually used to be in a band for a little while. And then we've more recently, like she's done a music video for us. We've done some photo stuff with her. I notice with her, not like it's something specifically about her, but I think it's just something that would happen with all sibling relationships, that when we're doing the creative thing, those sibling dynamics kind of come up really quickly. And they also, they seem almost like magnified. But I think I just have been working so much with Chloe that I don't always notice that. That's like, that's the only form that our like relationship has been in. I think it's good to be aware of that now and like aware that it is definitely a more intense thing to navigate. The fact that we are, our music career is like that, we're also sisters. There's just a lot there. So we try to be easier on ourselves with navigating that, knowing that sometimes things are going to be really tough. And then, like our motto now is sisters first, band second, or something like that. But our dad was, he gave us that motto, and we're trying to live by that now.
Yeah, there's something you said that, I don't know if there's a question here, but maybe just an observation, that idea of like, you know, you said something about kind of getting to know her because you'd been in the band. And I've seen that with friends where, you know, I have friends who've been in bands together for, you know, 10 years or something, but it's like they don't know each other outside the context of the band. It's like they don't, one person doesn't know what the other person's dad did for a living or something like that. And so there comes that, you know, there comes that time where it's like they have to know each other as humans in order for the music to go forward too.
Yeah, it's, you don't always think about that, but I think it definitely would actually help the music. Just this is like a really weird comparison. This is probably going to sound a little crazy, but I'm reading this book by Miranda July called All Fours, and there's this one part where she's talking about her relationship with her husband, and she's 45, so they've been together for a while, and they have this weird thing that, like, I mean, I can't fully relate to this, but they have this almost like they're like formal kind of companions or like partners, but not really, like the intimacy isn't always there, even though they're always together. And then she was saying that they notice that only in these like disaster moments or these like emergencies do they like really, they actually remember their like the intimacy of their relationship or something. And I was kind of just thinking that being in a band is almost like you're only existing in those like survival moments or something. Like you're not really going through like the everyday normal life things, getting to know someone, kind of like, it's like this fake representation of life that you're like navigating with someone. And because, you know, with Chloe, if we're only kind of doing like, we can spend so much time together, but doing the work stuff, it's not really like real life. We're like, we're traveling somewhere. There's adventures, there's hardships. It's almost like we don't have to just know each other and do the work to maintain a healthy relationship when we're only experiencing those types of things, like taking a 14-hour flight to China or something. Like that is not like the normal situation, you know, where you would get to know someone. So I think we've tried to, it kind of feels funny because we have obviously spent so much time together already, but we'll try to like plan these days and just like, okay, no work today. We're just going to go thrifting and then have a movie night or something. And it feels kind of like different for us, but yeah, it's funny.
I wondered if there's ever a sense of like, you know, we could just make music that we don't have to release and it can just be for us continuing that relationship, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think Chloe has brought that up and almost felt like maybe we should do that. Like we shouldn't try to have all these plans and these expectations for the band. But if we love making music, we should just do that and have fun. But I don't really want to do that. I just got, because I think, I mean, maybe this is pointing at like an unhealthier relationship that I have with music, but I kind of like, I play music for fun. I do that on my own, but I just like have this desire to try to bring it to the next level and like get it out to as many people as I can. And to me, it just doesn't seem possible to just do it for fun. Chloe, I also think we could try, but then it would just immediately, we would have a song and we would want to release it. So, but yeah, maybe that would be good for us to actually be forced to work on a song that we're like, we're not going to release this. It's just for fun. Maybe that will be like our next project.
You've been listening to a conversation with Asi Saavedra of Chaos Chaos. The latest Chaos Chaos release is a reissue of the EP Committed to the Crime. You can learn more about Chaos Chaos at chaoschaosband.com. You can also hear my conversation with Chloe Saavedra on the previous episode of this podcast. Our digital producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Hugo Fan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson. You can learn more about this podcast at kmuw.org, and you can also send us questions and comments at info@kmuw.org. Thanks again for listening. We will see you next time.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.